morning. It's good for us all to be here today to worship God in spirit and in truth. Thankful for the prayers on my behalf and thankful for the opportunity to stand before you this morning to talk about a few things that hopefully pertain to God's Word. Probably talked some on some of these things before, but we live in strange times, it seems like to me. Maybe the most technologically advanced culture that maybe the world's ever known. I guess we are. If we're not, we're close to that. And in a country, maybe one of the wealthiest countries it's probably ever been as well. And probably more people per capita that have been exposed to higher education than any culture in the world. And yet for all this, in many ways, we seem to be lost as a nation anyway, and confused, lack a sense of identity in a lot of ways. We see it, you watch the news and you see people that are so angry about everything and confused, in many ways ignorant, unhappy, and you think, gosh, for a nation that is as educated as we are, as wealthy as we are, at least in material things, and seems like everybody has a computer, everybody has cars, everybody has clothes to wear, and all these things. And in so many ways, we seem unhappy and don't know even some of the basic things. We see in the country now. I saw it in the emergency department when I was working there a couple of days ago. We're so confused, or at least many are, that boys don't even know if they're boys or girls. I mean, and vice versa, we don't know. We don't even know that in a lot of ways. And you've got, we see that, and then we see that the media and all that saying, well, you know. You have to say it's okay if a boy doesn't know if he's a boy or not. I mean, it's just foolish things like this that we see on a day-to-day basis, and we think, gosh, as smart as we're supposed to be, we don't even know that. So, question is why do we have these issues? Why is it like this in the world that we're in right now? And I think that part of this, in my opinion, maybe the major issue is, if we go to Jeremiah chapter 5, I think that, let's look at a couple verses here, and then we'll try to make some application through the rest of the lesson. Starting in verse 4, this is God speaking. Then I said, they are only the poor, they are foolish, for they do not know the way of the Lord, or the ordinance of their God. I will go to the great and will speak to them, for they know the way of the Lord and the ordinance of their God. But they too have, with one accord, have broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Verse 21. Now hear this, O foolish and senseless people, who have eyes but do not see, who have ears but do not hear. Do you not fear me, declares the Lord? Do you not tremble in my presence? For I place the sand as a boundary for the sea, an eternal decree, so it cannot cross over it. Though the waves toss, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot cross over it. But this people has a stubborn and rebellious heart. They have turned aside and departed. They do not say in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, who gives the rain in the season, but both the autumn rain and the spring rain, who keeps us for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned these away, and your sins have withheld good from you. I think the reason that we don't, that we seem as confused as we are as a nation, is the fact that we are spiritually blind. Having eyes that cannot see and having ears that don't hear. And as he said in verse 5, he says he's even spoke to us. But they too, with one accord, have broken the yoke and burst the bonds. In other words, they've refused to see, they refused to hear. And I think that is the problem that we see in this country right now. is the fact that as a whole, or at least the vast majority of people have decided that they don't need God. So we don't know who God is. We don't know His ways. We don't know His character. And in many cases have decided we're not going to listen to what His Word says. And we're not going to try to understand. If you look in Acts chapter 4, just to look at the point a little further. Verse 25 and 26. It says, "Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ." There's been a decision made that many are going to stand against God and what He stands for. That we're going to deny all these things. And when we make this denial of the person, of the one who created us all, we deny Him, and not only deny Him, but deny what He has taught us, then we have this confusion that we have all around us. Why is this? Why is it that we do this? Is again this idea of it's as old as sin itself, is that we desire to be our own God. Why do people say, I'm not going to accept God for who He is? Why am I going to deny His ordinances or deny His laws? It's because I don't like what He says. I don't want to do what He says I need to do. So I'm going to do what I want to do. And then everything else is an extension of that. When we make that decision that I'm going to do what I want to do, then the consequences of that further down the line, we see what we've got now. We see just confusion everywhere because that's what happens when we decide to walk in darkness. I mean, what happens? He said, you walk in darkness, you're going to fall in a ditch. You're lost. And so this is where we're at this point. So when we think about this idea of our own God, again, we think about this idea of idolatry. Now, all idolatry is, I mean, when we think of idols, we think of a tiki doll that somebody, or a piece of gold or something that somebody falls down and worships. It can be that, I guess, but idolatry is mainly, it's an idea that comes from man. That's all an idol is. We think about this. We think about There's two ways major that we come to some kind of knowledge of God. There's two ways of going about it. There's a right way to go about it, and there's a wrong way to go about it. The way that God would have us to do it is that we depend on His revelation to us about who He is, what He expects. That comes from God to man. When you try to go the other way, the humans try to get to go know God, and they do it through their imagination of some sort. They attribute things to Him. We turn God into an idol when we do that, because we ascribe to Him things that aren't necessarily Him. And I mean, there's many people who call themselves Christians who do that very thing every day. God would have me do this. Where are you getting that? He told me that. So I mean, we turn God into a figment of our imagination to
instead of what He's revealed to us in His Word, and then we leave ourselves open to all kinds of suggestions and leave ourselves open to falsify who God is, and then God's anything. Anything you want Him to be. And basically what you've done is you've made yourself your own God at that point, because you've turned Him into something that you want Him to be. To suit what you desire instead of what you need. And that's why we've got many of the problems we have, is because people are they're slaves to their own desires instead of what their real needs are. They don't see what their need is. So why is it that we do that? I think there's several reasons, and I'm not going to touch on every. I'm sure there's many reasons that you may point to that I'm not going to talk about. But look in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 1. It says, "Now when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, 'Come make us a God who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him.'" Moses, we don't know we don't know where he's at anymore. God's not with us anymore, basically. So we're going to come up with some other idea here. I think that's what happens when in this culture, when we don't see an immediate result to problems that we have. I don't know where's God at. So I've got to come up with some way of circumventing God, because I don't feel like I'm getting the answers I need this second. Another thing is that people want a more tolerant God, less judgmental of sin. I like what I'm doing right now. I don't want to change what I'm doing right now. So maybe if I go look around enough, I can find a God that will just turn the other way at this. It doesn't matter. In other words, I don't have to repent of anything. And how many places have you heard that are Christian churches that say, "Yeah, we'll take you. And you can do whatever you want. You basically, you can do what you want to. God's going to forgive you because He loves you." But they don't talk about the fact that you have to change what you're doing. And there's churches out there that have homosexuals that are actively in that lifestyle. And you could add any sin to that. That are actively in the lifestyle. And nobody's making them change that. God accepts you as you are. Do what you want. That is not the God of the Bible. I mean, and every one of us, and I'm not trying to pick on one type of sin, every one of us have our own problems, have our own weaknesses. Whether it's anger issues, whatever it is, there's all kinds of different things that each one of us has our own problem with that we got to overcome. But we should be actively trying to overcome those issues. That's what repentance is largely about, is to overcome the things that are against what God tells us to do. We got to change what we're doing. But to just say, "Well, you know, God will take me as I am in this way," that is not what He says. God is happy to forgive us of those things if we're trying to actively improve. But when we take that away, in other words, the other type of thing is this idea of, an extension of this thought is a commitment to the individual. In other words, instead of us serving God, a lot of people have the idea that God is there to serve us. He's going to take care of, you know, all my discomforts, and that's that. And He's just there for that, to make sure I'm not uncomfortable. So my feelings are hurt. He's there to make my feelings get better. Well, you know, all these kind of things. So we've got a skewed view in a lot of cases of what God is there for and what we're here for. God's not there to serve us.
We're here to serve Him. We've got things turned around. For people, there's the God of health and wealth. And there's many people that ascribe to that, and there's many preachers in your ears that God wants you to be wealthy materially. That's what God wants for you. He wants you to be happy in that way. Look at Matthew chapter 8 and verse 20. The question was asked to him by a scribe, Matthew 8 and verse 19, I'll say. It says, then a scribe came to and said to him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. In other words, I want to be your disciple. I want to be a Christian. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. In other words, it's not going to be an easy thing for you to do to be a disciple of Christ. What is it that in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Paul here says, not that I speak from want, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. So what Paul says here is, it's not that God wants us to be rich or poor. That doesn't have anything to do with what God wants for us. That's not the point. God wants us to be content in Him, no matter what we are. Whether you have plenty or whether you don't have plenty. The point is that we are rich towards God.
In other words, we are concerned about keep making God happy with what we are. Not with God making us happy. Our goal should be, am I acceptable to God? That's the question.
Not whether, is God, you know, keeping me in vehicles and clothes and food or whatever it is. Paul says, that stuff, it's, I'm content whether I have it or I don't have it. Because I know that I'm doing what God tells me to do. People, like we talked about briefly, God, the God of my emotional needs. In other words, a God that tells us we're all right. Support our self-esteem or our feelings. That's what people want. God's just going to say, you're all right. You don't have anything to worry about. God doesn't tell us that. Chapter 10 and verse 34 of Matthew, he says, do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. So God is not concerned about our emotions per se. I think He cares when we're sad, and He cares about these things, but He cares more about what our attitude is towards Him. I mean, what's more important to you? And He's saying here, He says, if you love anything more than me, then you're not worthy of me. So our emotional needs to be fulfilled in God Himself. And if it's about other things, then those are all secondary to that. And He's even saying here, He says, you have to be more concerned about me than yourself. He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. In other words, a person has to be willing to sacrifice himself on account of God. That is what He demands of us. So again, who is serving who? That's the mindset that we've lost. We've got people that want God serving them instead of them serving God. And that's we're completely, in a lot of ways in this culture, completely backwards. You think about, in a lot of these mega church type things, think about what it is there, what's happening there. We got gyms, they got coffee bars outside of their place there, or in the lobby. They got all these activities, you know, concerts, all this other stuff. What is that for? It's to entertain and to make me feel better all the time. Instead of the idea being, well, what are we doing here to serve God? We think if we entertain everybody and keep them coming to the building that we've done something for God. But it's really we're trying to do something for ourselves and do something for our family. We're trying. You get to be fellowship with a bunch of nice people, is what the idea is. But that's God, when He set up His church, was that bring people together that they might fellowship with each other, but more importantly, their fellowship with each other was on account of each individual's fellowship with God. That's what's got to come first. That's what we got to be concerned about. How has this become so pervasive? Turn with me to John. I'm just going to look at a few verses in John, starting in verse 1. Starting in verse 5 says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Again, the idea, we talk about spiritual blindness. So light came in the world, people in the dark couldn't see it or didn't want to see it. We're turning a blind eye to Christ. To God, that is the underlying issue that everything else extends from. If you look in chapter 3 of John, starting in verse 19. You know, everybody reads verse 16 and stops there. And it's a wonderful verse. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." Now, let's look at the verses 19. "This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil." See, God did come into the world that we might all be saved, but the point is this, is that we have to turn from darkness to light. That we have to turn from the worldly ways of living to the ways of Christ. It's the same thing. "For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds might be manifested as having been wrought in God." That should be what we're focusing on here is. People want to focus on just verse 16 but disregard the rest of that chapter. So verse 16 is wonderful and it's true, but it's part of what He revealed to us there. The rest of what He revealed to us there is, this is a judgment. You don't like what I tell you. "The light's coming into the world. Men love darkness rather than the light." In other words, I came here. I told you what was right. You don't like what's right. So you're going to do what you want, and some people do what they want, but they'll put Jesus' name on it and quote verse 3:16, and stop there. But you got to read the rest of it too. Also, if you look in chapter 8 and verse 12. "Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So, not only what we know, but how we live matters. We're not going to walk in darkness anymore. What does it mean to walk in darkness? It means to walk fulfilling your own desires, living the way you want to live, basically. The person that walks in the light walks like Christ did. Now, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So, we've said before that people are blind. They don't know. They don't know God or His ways. Let's look at what verses 3 through 6. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus is Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. Now, think about this. So, people who refuse to hear the gospel, to believe the gospel, the world has been blinded by the God of this world, in other words, the devil. And there's many ways that happens. Not everybody that says they're Christian is one. And why is that? Look at verse 5. He says, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus is Lord." Now, think about what that means. We're not preaching opinions, my opinion. That's what, when he says we don't preach ourselves, in other words, they're not just building themselves up, but they're also, they are preaching Christ Jesus and his direct revelation to people they preach to. In other words, I'm not giving you my opinion about something. Nobody cares about that, or we shouldn't care about that. But when we start preaching opinions, again, we're concerned more about what we want people to think instead of what God wants people to think. And that's where we can cause problems for other people because they may listen to what you're saying. So we need to be very careful that we preach Christ Jesus and His teachings. 2 Timothy. Chapter 3. Verses 1 through 9. He says, "But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these." Now, verse 7. "Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Now, if you think that people who call themselves Christians don't, some of the people that call themselves this don't fall into this group, you're not paying attention. Because you've got people out there that are preaching, we talked about the God of health and wealth, that lovers of money. When that's the focus, God wants you to be rich. I mean, that based on what? Based on, again, somebody's opinion. That's what He says He wants, because He don't say it there. But that's what He wants for you. And then this idea of always learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. I mean, we see that, I mean, not only in colleges, but people who are supposedly Bible scholars, always learning about what it says, but what does it mean, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth? In other words, never able to apply it. I know what it says, but it really means this. That's what a lot of people do. You can read commentaries in your Bible and see that. I know it says that you need to be baptized, but He don't really mean that. That's what we have to be so careful about. We need to take what God says and act on that. If you go to chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from truth, and will turn aside to myths." Why do churches split? I mean, usually, I mean, there's a fight somewhere that causes, I mean, people don't just split because they still like each other. Why does it happen?
Because somebody, maybe both of them, but at least one of the two parties has a problem. They don't like what the Word of God says.
They don't want their feet stepped on. There's some issue, or there's personal animosity inside the congregation, which again,
there's a problem with desires at that point that don't come from God.
God don't tell us that it's okay for us to be at each other's throats. Turn back to Acts chapter 13. This idea that false teaching can happen, if you look in chapter 13, it can happen. Not only do people accumulate to themselves people that are going to say what they want to hear, but there's people that are out there that are teachers that want to draw disciples after themselves. And if we see this, an example of this here, starting in verse 6 of chapter 13, says, "But when they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they found a magician, a Jewish false prophet, whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence. This man, son of Barnabas and Saul, and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas the magician, for so his name is translated, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who was also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze on him and said, 'You who are full of deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord?'" You had a guy here who wanted this guy to stay with him instead of hearing the gospel. And that's what happens when people who allow their desires to be their Lord, this is what happens as a result of that. And if Paul and Silas don't come to him, who knows what happens to this guy? So that's one of the things we need to think about. So as we close this, we think about our responsibilities here as members of the church. First thing, Matthew chapter 5. We've read this scripture a million times, starting in verse 14. And he's talking to us here. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." That's our job. Now, how do we go about doing that job? We look at John chapter 15. Got just a few verses and then the lesson's yours. John chapter 15 and verse 26. I'll be reading through verse 4 of the next chapter. "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me, and you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning." The Holy Spirit came to the apostles and told them what needed to be said. We have that down in the rest of the New Testament, what needed to be said. Now, if we want to be of any help to anybody else, if we want to be a light to those around us, if we want to be salt to those around us, then our job is to do exactly what they did and to repeat what was said. Starting chapter 16, "These things I have spoken to you so that you may be kept from stumbling." In other words, we get outside of what has been told to them by the Holy Spirit, we're going to stumble. Not only are we going to stumble, we're going to cause other people to stumble. "They will make you outcast from the synagogues, but an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. These things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. But these things I have spoken to you so that when the hour comes, you may remember that I told you them. These things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you." Now, what he's telling us as well is, when you tell people what the truth is, there's going to be a lot of people that don't like it. He didn't say, it's all going to be easy. You're going to have plenty of money. Nobody's ever going to say anything bad to you if you tell them what the truth is. God, and you're never going to get your feelings hurt. He didn't say any of those things. He said, you're going to have problems on this earth because of the truth. Because it separates the good from the bad, and the bad don't want to hear it. So let's look at a couple things that we want that before we break up. 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 16. We read this one a lot too. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. That is where we need to... The scripture is where we need to find the things that we're wanting to say. It doesn't need to be our opinion. And then he said in verse 1 of the next chapter, he says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearance, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. That's what we need to be willing and able to do. When the time comes, when we're faced with anything, is that we need to be able to look through the Scripture and share that with other people. Now, lastly, the other side of this part of what we need to do as well, the action part, is this. James chapter 1 and verse 21, he says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. So it needs not only to be what we say, but what we do. How are we going to be a light to those around us? By doing what the Scriptures say and by being able to share what the Scriptures say with them. It's that simple. And then at least we know what we're doing.
We're talking about people who are spiritually blind and are walking around confused all the time. That don't need to be us. We need to understand exactly what we're doing and what our purpose is. And if we understand those things, then we're not walking around in the dark like a lot of the rest of the world around us.
So, and hopefully we can help other people that are walking around in the dark and help them to see what, so they know what they're doing. That was the lesson that I had for you today. If there's any here that are not Christians, again,
there is God wants you to know Him and His ways. And the thing that He wants you to know about Him is that He sent His Son into this world to save us from our sins.
And that any person that believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died for the sins of the world, that He's risen from the dead, and sits at the right hand of His Father and is Lord over all. Anybody that believes that can confess that before others, can repent of their sins, can be baptized for the remission of sins, and then walk in newness of light.
Walking in the light, not being blind anymore. If there's any that has a need, please feel free to come forward as we stand and sing.